Assertiveness and persistence, when do they matter? How should they be used? The answer is actually straightforward. Use them when it's in the best interest of the other person, the prospect or client. If the prospect is struggling to be objective about their circumstances or decisions, asserting or persisting through your questions is powerful, and it's the right thing to do to help that prospect make an objective decision. On the other hand, if you use either to promote your agenda or your wants and needs, you will lose the prospect's trust and interest. In this episode of Breaking Sales, I continue my conversation with management consultant Kirsten Markley to explore how the combination of curiosity, assertiveness, slowing down, and persistence work together to help her avoid operating out of fear when the competitive pressure is on.
I know you said you're preparing questions ahead of time, and I know you said that you're preparing your mindset, but kind of how are you trying to structure them now? Because you're not leading with a slide deck.
Well, I really value the upfront agreement. So going into the conversation, I already know and have reminded myself and can articulate, this is why we're meeting today. This is what our hopeful outcome might be for the time. And you know, do you agree? Giving the other person opportunity to say, yes, I am, as should I do, getting that buy-in early on. And then having a couple thought through questions and being open to see what might happen. And I do typically have, you know, some idea of something I might want to share, or I'm bringing a subject matter expert into those conversations in case it goes one way or the other. But I usually, I mean, the first half, I'm trying to just, it's exploratory. It's kind of setting a foundation of where to go.
Have you had to calm down and relax some of your teammates and peers sometimes in the beginning, where they might hear something that normally they might jump to try to solve, but you've got to kind of keep them calm? Have you had that experience?
I have had that experience, and I've had a recent where the team felt, you know, we did that, didn't go well. Like, we didn't get the thing we wanted out of the conversation. We don't know how to feel about that. Where it was, well, that's what they needed that conversation to look like, and let's just see what happens, you know? So it's also, you kind of hope to achieve something in these conversations for yourself and your team. Like, you check a box, you got the yes, you got the next step, but kind of letting go of the formality of that and just, this might be unconventional, but it might be what they needed. And, you know, that's why we're here. So let's, it's not bad, it's not good, it's just different. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, if I recall, didn't that happen in one of your conversations where you guys asked a lot of questions, you learned? I don't know if what you might have shared or how much you might have shared from a competency, expertise standpoint, but the meeting was over and you guys did learn a lot. You didn't have anything definitive in terms of a next step, and I could be getting this wrong. But didn't you get feedback like a couple days later? Like, the executive was like, hey, I had this conversation with Kirsten's team and it was really good. And I'm actually thinking about doing this project with them. Am I off on that? Or am I confusing things?
You're right. Yeah. It was one of those where there wasn't a clear, is this a thumbs up, thumbs down, what's next? And then a couple of days later, we had heard through the grapevine, as they say, the conversation was very positive and there was a decision being made. And yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that. All right, so I have a question for you now. That all this sounds great, right? Tell me what role assertiveness plays in all of this, though.
How do you describe the difference between confidence and assertiveness?
So assertiveness, right, is our ability to step out of the norm because we know there's something that needs to be either done, said, or asked. Mm-hmm. And we know it needs to be. And so we're going to assert in that moment. It may not be comfortable. It may not be the norm, but it's needed. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that I think comes natural for most, because I think anytime we try to assert based on our own needs, the little voice inside of our head says, you sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
But how does assertiveness play in this instance with what you're doing and the mindset that you have around it?
Well, it goes back to what I started with, which was I used to feel that being assertive and specifically being curious and asking questions exposed some weakness, but I didn't belong in the room. And then it was the activation thought and the awareness of actually, I owe it to this person to be curious. It's the same with probably anything statement you might want to make. But you and I talked about this, and I've heard you do this too, where if for some reason I feel like my assertiveness or my question could be unwelcomed in the room, then it's just a matter of how you ask it. So it's still, you know, for my knowledge, or because we've never worked together, or because I heard you say this, I just want to make sure I understand it, you know, for my own good, for yours. Sometimes it's helpful. That's been helpful for me to be able to find a different way to couch the statement. And then to remind myself that I owe it to them to be curious. I have a different point of view. It's just as valid as somebody else's. And like, there's not a bad question if you're high intent on that.
Yeah, I understand that. And the reason why I ask it, because I mean, I think a lot of people really do confuse assertiveness with aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you that I'm an expert on either of them. But what I do know is when we're aggressive, it's usually because we're pursuing something that's of interest to us, right? There's usually some mm-hmm. kind of outcome that appeals to us. But assertive is more, like you said, it's like, I owe them this question. I have to ask it.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't ask them this, I'm doing them a disservice.
Right.
You know, and then you assert, but you still got to be willing to.
Yes. It's a little courage in the mix.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to. In your experience, and you may not look at it this way. There's your out. How's that? Huh? I just gave you an out.
Perfect. You're safe. Ask it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do you think in your experience in particular that the idea of detachment or high intent or abundance, does that help with assertiveness? Or do you think assertiveness is different?
I think it helps because that scarcity mindset, that I can't fail, or that kind of promotes a little bit of fear and control, and you clamp down and you don't allow for the full opening of a conversation. So yes, it does.
Right. I mean, but everybody's different. And the idea though of leading with the curiosity and the questions, you have to have some confidence and some assertiveness that you're doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah. Benevolence.
Tell me a little bit about persistence, right? Mm-hmm. You're in management consulting. Your prospects and clients come to you, many of them attached to what they've always done because they put a lot of hard work into it, right? They put a lot of effort into it. And maybe what they've done and maybe the strategy they chose or whatever is not working, but it's still theirs. They're the ones that spent the money and they're the ones that invested the resources and the time and the effort. They get attached. How do you be high intent and persistent when you know the prospect or client still, because of their biases and their attachments, they're going down the wrong road?
That's a good question. My mind is going a lot of directions as you were explaining this scenario. And I was thinking, well, you know, we always think in the mindset, like, we're not the hero, right? If you think about this as a story, the client is the hero. The individual executive is the hero. And yet, you know, one person can't know everything. And one team, you know, can't. There's biases. So I think the advantage that we have is that as a management consulting partner, we have many, many clients operating in similar marketplaces. And that external point of view, sometimes you can level set back on, well, here's something I'm seeing at three of your peers. I just want to bring this forward. So I think it's just offering through curiosity, offering other perspective, not suggesting that somebody's perspective is wrong, but coloring it in a little, or just saying, could I elaborate or share something with you based on what you said that I have recently learned? You know, try to just bring awareness to something, but you know, we never want to tell somebody their baby is ugly. And we don't do that. And, you know, we also don't want to take the ball from an executive leader. We want to play. We want to play ball and get in there with them. And so showing some acknowledgement of, yeah, you are doing well. Here's some other things you could add. Here's, you know, just to think about more. And that's my mindset.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, I just know, right? Because there is a time and a place you have to be persistent. But it's also one of those ones you have to be judicious in, right?
Yeah, you don't want to offend somebody. I mean, that's the worst case scenario. But you could stimulate some curiosity, right? And you can earn the right to then share.
When you think about the competition right now, what kind of pressures is that right now in the marketplace where you're in? You know, you have the large management consulting traditional firms, right? And you got a lot of smaller firms too. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing out there?
Man, well, yeah, the scale of firms it's vast, and there are pros and cons to a large firm and a small firm. The list goes on and on. And we are in some places all playing in the same pool, and the economic pressure and the budget tightening is something we're all facing. It's a service industry, right? And so really maintaining that abundance mindset in this environment, it's a discipline, because there are pressures saying, we got to bring in this sale, we got to close this deal, we need this revenue, you know, and you're going to hear that, or this other firm is biting at the door. And so it's competitive, there's pressure for the win. At the same time, it's that there's a lot of opportunity out there. This is not going to be a make or break. This is not the end. There's so much more. That mindset, the freedom that it promotes then in the conversation has been really good. But it's been hard, you know, to box out and even to get folks understanding. Yeah, we want to win. Yes, we need the revenue. Who doesn't? We want to grow. And this isn't the only conversation we're having. This isn't the only business we can do. There's so much out there, you know, like, yes, so we don't operate out of fear and make bad decisions.
Yeah, what I hear from you is the mindset. Because you're right, there is a lot of pressure, right? And you have the large companies playing a little bit more down market. True statement?
Mm-hmm. True statement.
And then you have other companies like yours and so forth that are trying to go up market. And then you got all these other companies in between. And then you got the actual marketplace going through a lot of cutbacks, right? You have clients left and right that are cutting back on budgets and they're downsizing. And then it's almost like you have all this squeeze going on. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it does sound really fun, doesn't it?
All right, now I know a lot of my audience is thank God I'm not in management consulting.
the water's warm. Good times.
But right, you said it. You cannot let it get to you.
It doesn't help.
No, the only way you can resist that is to be more deliberate in the mindset, right? Which you said for you was, this is one deal. This is one conversation. It's one. Got to keep moving, right? Mm-hmm. I can pick and choose where I put my mindset. I can pick and choose how I'm decoding this situation. And right now I choose to decode it that, all right, it's one conversation, one deal. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
And you've seen that, I know, because you've seen that from a lot of your teammates, right? Where you and I have talked about it. You've had to help them not, I'll say it, succumb to the squeeze, right?
Oh, yeah.
Succumb to the pressure.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, it's a funny thing to remind yourself too in this business. This is a mutual decision. So we give a lot of power to the clients and the prospects. So at the same time, you know, you're evaluating both ways. Am I fit for you? Are you fit for me? And we put so much expectation on every conversation. It owe it to just have a broader perspective. I don't know, and just have some fun in doing it.
That was a really good, we'll call it principle that you had right there, right? Are you a good fit for us, and are we a good fit for you, right? Because normally it's just, hey, we're a really good fit for you. Let us show you how, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a way.
If you were to give advice to anybody who is in some form of sales, advisory, or consultancy role, what would maybe three or four nuggets or pieces of experience that you would share with them that you would say, hey, here's three or four things that you need to be thinking about right now?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, and there's a better way to say this, is get out of your own way a little. It's not about you. At the end of the day, the process and even shaping a deal and winning a deal is more about the client and their problem and solving it in the best way than it is about you. And you are a guide. So how are you helping and allowing somebody through the process to understand, to have a clear, informed point of view and make the best choice for them and just, you know, celebrate that for them? It's really not about you. And allowing yourself to just to know that and have the best interest of the prospect at mind. I think that's really important. And I think that that's an enduring feeling you create in the process and the relationship, because it might not be that deal. But guess what happens? Like, you earn the right potentially for the next deal or the next coffee, you know, just showing, I think, benevolence and high intention with people. I mean, people are looking like, can I trust you? Is this good? How does this feel? You know, it's not, oh, you gave me the right answer every time. There's more to it. So you have to allow the dynamic to build and realize this is a relationship.
That was so good the way you said that at the end. Oh, you gave me the right answer every time. I mean,
that never happens.
Right, exactly.
But then, you do that well. So
that was good. I like that. So what else would you maybe add to that? Get out of your own way is fantastic, and just focus on them and make it about them. Don't make it about yourself. So that was good. What else would you add to that?
I think it's the slow down. So whatever timeline you'd like to apply to that pursuit process, you might have a timeline, but does that matter? Like, why? You know, allow the client to a certain degree to help dictate the pace of that process and be with them on the ride, but slow down. If you feel like you jumped all the way to competence sharing and all of a sudden you realize you missed it, well, just go back to, you know, wait, let's go back to something. I want to make sure I really understood, because slow down. When you start to doubt what you're proposing and putting it, then you don't know enough yet. So slow down and be curious. And just trust that that's going to benefit everybody in the end.
Yeah, slowing down is powerful, right? Take the time, ask more questions, learn more, find out how they feel about it, find out what they think their other options are, right? Mm-hmm. Find out how they might measure success with it. What do they gain? What do they risk, right? I love that. Just slow down.
Yeah. Yep. And then the don't lead with competence. That's important to know. You might really want to share, but just sit on your hands and wait. The moment will present itself, most likely, but, you know, don't rush to demonstrate that, and don't be afraid to expose some vulnerability and needing to understand a little more.
Yeah, all of those things you just shared right there, and, you know, you and I have talked about them, are significant trust factors of how human beings build trust. You know, competency, technically, if you take the top five and how human beings build trust, competency is number five. It's not in the top four.
Right. And it's funny, a year ago, if I would have come out of a meeting, if I'd gone to the meeting, had my deck, my 4 points and my proposal, and I had the chance to share it in the room, I might have walked out of the room thinking, like, nailed it. And now, you know, I've talked about this too. I sometimes don't even want to pull up the slides at all, or I have spent more time talking in a meeting than my prospect has. And I feel like, oh, no, that didn't feel good. Like I want to hear them talking more. I wish I hadn't shared, because what is that at the end of the day? Information. I mean, yeah. So I've been evaluating kind of the outcomes and the quality of the conversation differently.
That's a really, really, that's a really good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So awesome having you on here.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
I can't believe it took us this long to do this.
I know. I can't believe you asked me. I could have screwed this up big time. Looks like we're fine.
Yeah, it's all about fun.
Thanks for listening to Breaking Sales. If you want to get engaged with us outside of the podcast, be sure to go to our website, lapin180.com. Go to contact us. You can also engage with us on LinkedIn at Dan Lapin or Lapin180.